Well, hello and welcome back to the Two Kinky Women podcast, where we dish about everything kink. I am your co-host, Midnight Lady, and my partner is Mistress Gabrielle.
Yes, hello. Hello, welcome back, listeners. If you're new here, welcome. Hope you become part of our family. And we are a family. And one of the things that people do, people who are family, is they take care of each other. And that brings us to our subject today. And we've got a really good one. Now, I say that all the time because they are really good ones. And this one in particular is very important. And it's probably more important to some people than to others. But the subject is aftercare. Aftercare for tops and bottoms. There's a lot involved in aftercare. Some people feel they need it. Some people feel they don't need it. Some people say, oh, what's the big deal? Other people say, oh, you can't play with me without taking care of me afterwards because it's cathartic or it's intense and I need to be able to come back to earth and I need some help doing that. And that is our subject today, aftercare. And ML, yes. Can you give us a better description and
aftercare refers to the process of providing emotional, psychological, and or physical support to participants following BDSM play. So basically what that very nice Wikipedia definition is, basically when you play with someone as either a top or a bottom, there is energy exchanged. If you believe in the metaphysics of this, there's energy that is exchanged. There, biological processes take place in the body. Endorphins are released. Hormones come, you know, shoot up and down.
Right.
There are certain chemical, blood sugar can drop.
Oh, yeah.
Which could be even more serious if you are hypoglycemic or you're diabetic or... So there are certain things that we do, if I'm playing, I do let my top know that my blood sugar most definitely will drop with intense scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be worried, because I always have a little bit of candy with me that is easily accessible. You take it out, you pop it in my mouth, and we can go back to playing. So it's not like a showstopper. So it's really important to care for both the top and the bottom after an exchange of bodily fluids, blood sugar, chemical imbalances, and just basically caring for your bottom, because subspace is a thing. Subspace is a real thing. So what is subspace? As the resident submissive, my idea of subspace is an altered sense of reality.
Oh, yeah.
Where for me, every touch is magnified and electrified, and every sensation is just in its own world. Like, I feel like I'm wrapped in like cotton or wrapped in like this warm cocoon, and it's such a pleasant feeling. It's kind of like flying, I guess you could say. Floating is a better word. Floating.
Right. It's almost like I from what I can really remember and recall, it's almost like being high without having taken anything to get you high. It's just
it's a natural high.
Right.
It's similar. You know, they people will relate it to runner's high.
Yeah.
You know, like you see runners. Although every time I see somebody running, they never look happy. I've never seen a happy runner. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a, you know, it's a love-hate thing. But anyway, so that process of subspace, they are not in their right mind, so to speak.
Right.
they are kind of weighed down with all these chemical reactions going on inside the body. And then there's the emotional and psychological aspects of maybe you did a degradation scene or a humiliation scene, and they need to recover from that.
Right.
Or a depersonalization scene, they need to recover from that.
Right.
So it's important to take care of the bottom, who is in this altered state of reality, until they return back to 100% functioning. You don't want to leave a sub, you know, who just went through this huge scene, and you're like, all right, later, I'm out the door, see you later, on to the next play, partner.
Yeah.
Because they're... That's just bad form.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just bad form.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
I really agree with that.
Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this experience that I had. So, I had gone to an event, and my partner was sick, so I had gone alone to the event, and there was a super hot and sexy woman at the meet and greet, or the singles mixer. It was a kinky singles mixer.
Uh-huh.
Kinky dating. That's what it was. Kinky speed dating. I didn't actually get to the lot. Like, we ended before I got to her. But I was so attracted to her. I wanted to play so bad with her. And I went up to her and I says, oh, you know, small talk. And she says, okay, find me in the dungeon later.
Right.
And I was like, great. So I'm just walking around. I'm not with anybody. So I'm just walking around. And I happened to see someone else that I hadn't met earlier in the day, and so we're just sitting small talk, and there's the woman that I wanted to play with, and she is playing with someone already, a guy.
Uh-huh.
No warm up. Whap, 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 whap. Okay, next. She actually said that. Next. Like you're at the deli.
Wow.
Nope. No aftercare.
Yeah.
No, how you doing?
That's interesting.
No check-in.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just like, it was like a conveyor belt.
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, she's like, you still want to play? I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Right, right.
And then she was like, well, what happened to that other sub that was supposed to, I had another sub, where did he go? I guess on to the next one. Like, she was just so cavalier about it. Like, I don't know, it just rubbed me entirely the wrong way, because she did not care. It's like you're a piece of meat.
So you certainly wouldn't have expected any kind of aftercare from a person like this,
no
matter what the hell you did. Maybe not even a hug and a
nothing.
Thank you for playing. I'm so glad we got an opportunity to meet each other.
Nothing.
Let's reconnect sometime.
Bam, 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 bam. Next.
Wow. Okay.
So that was...
Not the kind of person you wanted to play with them to begin with.
No.
Right.
At all.
Talk about bad form.
Definitely bad form.
Now, it seems to me like she might have needed some aftercare for a top, to tell you the truth. Maybe she needed somebody to sit with her and explain that she did not need to do, a conga line of submissives to smack around. Wow. That's quite a story.
I'm so thankful that I saw her play. And that's
sure
one of the things we always say, if you're new, watch them play in the dungeon before you decide to play with them.
Right, right.
Because if I had played with her, it would have been awful.
It sounds that way.
It would have been awful.
But speaking of tops, what about aftercare for a top? That's a very interesting concept. Some people say, well, what the hell do you need aftercare for a top?
Maybe a top would need it because, but there's an interesting dichotomy. Some tops, they like being a top, but because men are socialized not to hit women, sometimes there is that, that dialectical dilemma.
Interesting. Yeah.
We were socialized, you never hit a woman, but I hear I just gave this woman like a really intense caning.
Yeah.
Or a really intense paddling.
Right.
You know, so yeah, sometimes the top needs a moment to come down from the top high. Oh, wow, I've got this gorgeous woman strapped up to this bench.
And there really is a top high. There's no question about it.
And you were feeling all of your dominant oats. Right. You know, like you were just like, I could do anything I want.
Right. And particularly if you are at an event or at a play party, I mean, people watch you. People see you. People watch you. And it's like, you know, it's very intense. It's almost like sometimes you can't help it. It's people are watching you. You're in a big event. There's a lot of music. You have a terrific piece of equipment to play on. And it's almost like a performance. It really is. And almost if you're like a performance.
And if you're an exhibitionist like I am.
Right.
You know, there's all these play stations on the outskirts of the dungeon.
Right.
And then there's usually a center area with a couple of pieces in the center.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'm no wallflower. I'm right there.
In the middle.
I'm right there in the center of the action.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting to think about the different scenarios. But I think as a top two, it is good to know that after the actual activity, to sit or to cuddle with somebody and to be appreciated for being the person who has just, made your day, as it were, by giving the submissive what it was that the submissive wanted. The importance of being a top. Sometimes we concentrate so much on the feelings and the experience of the bottom, we forget what it's like. Really, really forget what it's like for a top. You know, when it ends for a top, I mean, what is the reward? Well, the reward can be the appreciation of the bottom during aftercare. You'd sit with somebody or, you know, I just beat the shit out of you, but you still love me, right? Yes, of course. And that's something, you know, that you can reestablish within an aftercare environment. Let me ask you something else. Are you a wimp if you don't want aftercare?
No, if you don't want it, you don't.
I meant to say, are you a wimp if you do want it?
If you do need it.
Yeah.
No, you know, I believe that asking for aftercare is like asking for help. And you're not a wimp if you ask for help. It's called good self-care.
Right.
It's called taking care of your needs. And we do so little of that, you know, especially as parents. We are taught, take care of your kid before you take care of yourself, you know.
Right, right.
So, so asking for aftercare, I think, is essential if you need it.
Right.
There are some people out there who are just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, I'm all good.
Right. Right.
You have to be open to either one.
Right.
You can't force aftercare on somebody that doesn't need it or want it. Or maybe you were just doing like bondage, like a rope, where they're, you know, like just tied them up. And there was no other physical, you know, you didn't check the skin for bruising or, you know, different things like that, where it would be more intense euphoria from the endorphins in subspace. So, no, I don't think you're a wimp. I think you're strong for asking for what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some etiquette that goes along with that, though. So if you just finished the scene and you're on this bench, what my dominant and I usually do is, if the scene is finished, I give my bottom or myself, depending, a few minutes to just sit quietly, take a drink of water, maybe eat a piece of candy. For me, that's with the blood sugar. And then wipe down the space with the alcohol or Clorox wipes so that the next person that comes isn't going to be, you know, up in your germs because you left behind, sweat and saliva and
whatever
fluids
exactly.
Of any kind.
So aftercare is also taking care of the equipment as well,
For the next person.
For the next person. Well, what do you do with your submissive when you've just finished scene, right? And the scene, needless to say, was a scene. So you need to clean the equipment after you're finished. What do you do with your submissive while this is going on?
It takes just like less than a minute to clean. Uh-huh. And because I'm such a good service slave, I pack wipes in the playbag. So you don't even have to go to the cleaning station to get the wipes. Because I'm trying to make your life easier. Mm-hmm. So I pack cleaning wipes with me, and they're in the back. So I just whip them out, and then you go... I'm still sitting in the chair.
Right.
Sort of coming down or up, coming up, depending on how you look at your subspace. But
right.
Equipment's clean. Stuff is put away. Then we can get up and move to the aftercare area.
Okay, there's usually like there's some sort of a quiet
corner where they'll put down like those mats and some big oversized pillows.
So it's kind of like blankets. An aftercare section.
Yes.
Or area, which is only for aftercare. In other words, don't plop down there when you first come into the dungeon and start playing on the, you know, the really nice sofa or on the cushions or on the mattress or whatever happens to be there, because this is an aftercare section. And sometimes it'll be noted, like at an event, an event space or something. Aftercare area. Yeah.
And it's like draped off, like 3/4 of the way draped off.
So that it's a little more quiet, perhaps less activity happening in that area, so people are not distracted by other scenes that are going on within that dungeon space. And that's the typical. That's what you see, even in a house party. There's always a quiet space. Yes.
So let's talk about the etiquette of the quiet space.
Yes.
The etiquette of the aftercare section.
Right.
So you go in there, and generally if there are other people there, they're also quiet, kind of, maybe they're rubbing, you know, like their slave down, or maybe they're just cuddling, or they're just sort of like taking a little nap, or... That is not the time to come in and say, "Hey, Mary, did you see that? Did you see that scene?"
Happens all the time. And then people go,
quiet area. This is the quiet.
Quiet area.
No, please, if you're going to have a conversation, go upstairs, go into over here. There's another space over there.
But of course, that's good scene etiquette to begin with.
That's also just good scene
etiquette. Not making, a real gigundo noise experience for everybody else around you. Yeah, that's, it's kind of like, all right, a lot of activity while scenes are going on. Quiet. Yeah, don't interrupt with your noise or your exclamations or your friend across the room or whatever the case may be.
It comes down to like common sense. I've done it.
Sure.
I've forgotten.
Right.
You know, or I've been too close and I thought it was far enough away.
Right.
But then I turned out to be not as far as I thought. So, you know, you get the, if you want to have a conversation, can you please go upstairs?
Right.
Kind of a thing.
So,
you know. It's common sense kind of a thing at that point.
Now, some people have what you would call, or we would call, aftercare rituals. And you can create your own.
See, now that is something that is so interesting to me. Because when I play with my I have two dominants.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Mr. Scabial, but I also have Leather Gamer.
Right.
My husband. When I play with him and we do aftercare... Generally, I perform some sort of sexual service for him.
Okay.
Or to him.
Okay.
So that is part of the ritual of aftercare for me. Usually I am allowed to orgasm, and after mine, then I give him his.
Uh-huh.
And he has his.
Right.
So... And we do it that way, not together at the same time or have PIV sex, penis and vagina, because we want each person to fully enjoy their orgasm,
right,
and be the center,
right,
of that experience. If we're both trying to give each other pleasure at the same and receive pleasure at the same time, we have found that it diminishes the pleasure that each of us feels.
I think that's pretty common experience. Yeah.
So usually that aftercare, I'm doing something, playing with his penis, playing, not necessarily to orgasm too, depending on our environment. He gets a little gun shy in public. So, or I should say like penis shy in public. And but if we're home, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Usually play, always sexy time follows play. So that is a, like our ritual that we do. You and I have a different type of sexual relationship in terms of that. So there are other things.
Yeah, you can make it what you want it to be.
Whatever fits, fits for your... If this is pickup playing in the dungeon, obviously there's not going to be sexual, components with someone you just met, unless you negotiate that from the very beginning.
Now, can you, speaking of negotiation, can you negotiate aftercare?
Of course.
Right. And so you tell your top, okay,
this is what I need.
This is what I need. Or the top will say to the bottom, this is what I like to do afterwards because I like, well, doesn't have to necessarily say this out loud, but I like to know I've been appreciated for what it is I've just done. So I do like to sit after, and we can just be quiet and sit for a while with maybe, holding each other, sitting down, cuddling, whatever the case may be. Maybe just a little, low talk or something along those lines. And so that it ends the pickup play or whatever the case may be. So it ends where you don't feel like you were just part of a production line.
Yeah.
And
Used.
That it meant something to you and to the other person.
This is something that we've discussed in multiple podcasts about being a kink dispenser.
Yes.
As the top.
Whoa, yes.
We don't want to be kink dispensers either.
That's right.
Meaning, you put your money in and you press F7. And F7 is touch my penis and spank my butt.
Right.
We don't want to be a kink dispenser.
Right.
You know, that's why negotiation is important. Right. And aftercare is important because you want to feel like you just had this incredible experience with this person. And you want to be able to grow from that experience and say, I don't hit as hard as I think I do. Or, oh my God, I hit harder than I think I do. Because the feedback that you got from the bottom was, you didn't hit me hard enough. Or, oh my God, I had the safe word out because you were just like, went in there like hard and fast and I didn't get any warm up.
But hopefully that kind of thing doesn't happen if our listeners have taken our advice and made sure to check in
and negotiate.
And of course that checking in is so important. So that you don't wait until after the scene to find out how everything was. Check in while it's happening. That's just a little piece of our, the way we operate, right?
Yes. Yeah. So everyone's aftercare experience is obviously different because we're all unique and complex individuals. So whereas one person might like to snuggle in a blanket and have that security of the blanket, other people might be like, fuck it, I feel great. I want to just get a bite to eat or a piece of candy or something.
So what are the things that people use in an aftercare scene? I mean, there's blankets, maybe. There's
A snack.
A snack.
A little bit of water.
Water,
Or a protein bar.
Right.
Something that will raise your electrolytes or give you electrolytes is very good. Sugar is always good in a pinch. A little piece of candy.
Right.
A little snack. Right. A little baked treat, like a brownie or a cookie, just something.
Right.
Protein is best, but
Right.
It's not always available.
And I just think it's a really good way to come back down.
Yes. I have another tip.
Yeah.
For those who, like, I was, prior to my injury, I was a huge paddling enthusiast.
Right.
I had at least a dozen paddles, and paddling was my thing. But I would get bruises like you wouldn't believe. So, for you homeopathic people out there, Arnica gel.
Arnica gel. I've heard about that.
Arnica gel.
Yeah.
You can actually get Arnica dissolvable tablets. And Arnica gel is great for repairing bruises and skin.
Uh-huh.
So you can...
Like black and blue marks?
Like, yep, any kind of bruising.
Right.
And you can also take Arnica internally, and it will work on the outside. And for the God's honest truth, it works.
Right.
It helps to reduce the swelling, the physical side effect, the physical consequence of a paddling.
Right.
And especially if you do intense, and I was an intense paddle.
Yeah. Bottom. You sure were.
Loved it.
Yes.
My hips, that's another episode we're doing. My hips can't take it anymore.
Right.
My hips can't take the pounding and the pressure.
Yeah.
But that's another episode. So Arnica gel or Arnica tablets that dissolve under the tongue.
And I don't know what the...
Hand cream, maybe some nice lotion or something.
That's a good idea.
Skin gets chapped. If you're spanking, your skin will get chapped.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take care of our skin so they can play again. We don't want to break our toys.
No. Oh, gosh, no. Absolutely not. Let's not do that. Now, if you're home, I can visualize something really lovely if you have, you know, a hot tub or a jacuzzi,
Ooh.
A nice warm bath.
Oh, a hot shower.
A hot shower, maybe a shower with your top, whatever the case may be. It's a lovely thing to do. And I think it shows appreciation on both sides. And I don't think anybody doesn't want appreciation.
And it builds intimacy.
It really does.
It really, like, there's like a warm and fuzzy glow.
Right.
You know, so if you see that pickup plate person the next day.
Right.
It's always a good idea to check in with them.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
To see if there was any lasting effects.
Mm-hmm.
I bruised you pretty intensely last night. How are you feeling? I hope I didn't break the skin. I hope it wasn't, too terrible. It's always just, to me... I like going just that extra mile.
I think that kind of thing is really good. Now, of course, you're going to have your submissives who've just gotten the beating of their lives running around the next morning showing all those bruises off.
Oh, that's part of the fun.
Oh, look at this. You had a good time last night, didn't you?
It's your red badge of courage.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Talking about it now with you like this, it sounds a lot more important than I've considered it in the past. And I'm thinking to myself, how nice it would be just very mellow, sit down with somebody after the scene. And instead of like packing all your stuff up in your toy bag and, okay, let's go run around and see what the next thing is. You know, just kind of like slow down and take a moment and appreciate the fact that we are involved in this outrageously, incredibly interesting, exciting, erotic subculture.
There are different kinds of aftercare for different types of play.
When we say different types of play, what are we talking about?
So if you did a flogging scene, let's say you flogged somebody's back.
Right.
That's different than paddling or caning somebody's behind or their thighs, let's say. So you would want to make sure their circulation, if they were strung up, you want to make sure they have circulation returning. And a good way to do that is to pinch the fingernail till there's no more, blood and then watch it return.
Ah,
watch the color return.
That's good.
And if it takes too long for the color to return, you know that they're not getting enough blood to the extremities. And it's a real, and you, they could be stringed up like this, and you just kind of give it a little pinch. Wait, you know, you see the color go away,
right.
But the moment you release your finger, you see the color come back.
Right.
That's what you want. You want to see the color come back immediately once you release it. So that is a good way to just make sure, you know, that they're still there. They have sensation and they haven't lost circulation. Or a nice soothing lotion on a flogged back. That might be part of the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
You could even make that part of the scene.
Right.
To be honest.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be aftercare. Make it part of the scene.
But how about it? The blood play kind of scenario.
So,
what would you do with an aftercare?
Well, that you would. So the scene is done. Let's say you take out the piercings.
Right.
Like you did piercings or something. Where they put those gauge needles in to make like a line or something. Okay, so what I would do for that was, depending if they're going to leave them in, if they leave them in and do like, sometimes they do like that pretty corset string or whatever. I would first sanitize the whole, make sure all the wounds are like sanitized. And then clean the arm in the area or wherever they have the clean the area thoroughly. Like I would do it twice.
Right.
I would clean it once and then clean it a second time just to be sure, just because there was blood present.
Right.
Then take them to the aftercare section. And if they're losing blood or there's any kind of blood, definitely, you got to make sure that their, you know, electrolytes are good or protein levels are just sugar. You know, they always give you a little cup of sugar, a cup of juice after you give blood.
Right.
They want to make sure.
Blood play is intense. There's a lot going on there. Okay. A lot going on.
So you have to be.
Yeah. You have to be aware of your surroundings also all the time in blood play situation. I know that at certain events, what happens is that the entire area is cleaned up with really good equipment after blood play scenes. In fact, a DM will go in and make sure everything is okay before.
And you put down those chucks. You put
down
chucks everywhere.
That's right. That's right.
And then you take the chuck off and then you clean that too.
So at an event, needless to say, at a cleaning station or at a, as we like to call them, maybe a prep station, you're going to find, along with condoms and and lubes and all that kind of stuff, you're also going to find chucks, and you're also going to find the kinds of spray disinfectants.
Yes.
Okay. And all of that stuff is there.
And something even more stronger than Clorox wipes,
Right. And there it is. And
hospital
that's,
grade.
Yeah. And that's what you have to do. I mean, you can put your bottom onto a seat someplace, whatever, if you wrap them up in a blanket or put a shirt on them or whatever, particularly if there's been blood that is now on their body or, you know, very, very light bleeding or something along those lines. You need to make sure that that's not spread around.
Yes.
As well. So you sit your submissive down, you go back, you clean up the area again, you make sure everything is the way it is, then you go back to your submissive and you continue.
And
with
if
your
they take out the suit, if they take out the gauge needles,
right,
then you would clean the affected area
and
bandage the affected area.
Right.
You know, that's, you wouldn't bandage it if they're leaving it in for decoration, but you would certainly make sure it was clean.
Right.
So there are different ways, different things. How would you do aftercare for, let's say, an interrogation scene or a humiliation scene or degradation scene?
Well, you would do it essentially the same way you would do aftercare for any other kind of a scene. But you just realize that you're role-playing. Okay, right. So it's not the same thing. It's not like, you know, you are going to rescue a hostage, okay? Although that might be part of your scene. That may be part of your dynamic. That could be a lot of fun, too. Boy, I'm just thinking about a possibility there. Okay, never mind. right. In any event, so what you're doing is after the scene or whatever, it is role play, etc., but it can get to people. There's no question about it. Particularly if you do kinds of things that I do, which is try to affect all five senses. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have to bring that person kind of back. So sitting with that person and holding that person and talking about the scene sometimes is really, really good. What did you like? Did you not like that? Or what did you like? Do you want to do this kind of thing again? Or do you think this goes out of our repertoire?
If it was a degradation scene, you can then use comforting words like, you took that beating so well.
Beautifully.
You were such a good slave. You were such a good boy. You have to build them back up.
Absolutely. Oh, people walking by were just looking at you and going, oh, I wish I were there.
So wonderful.
It was great.
They wish they were you.
Yeah.
You took that dildo up the ass so good. If you break them down.
Yeah.
You have to build
them. You have to build them back up. Right.
You know, absolutely. Leave the campsite better than you found it, so to speak. That's a Dan Savage thing.
It's true, right?
Oh, and for those of you who don't know what a chucks is, you know how you have those doggy training pads that are plastic on the bottom and absorbent paper on top. That's what we mean by chucks.
Right.
That's just, I don't know why they call them chucks. That's just what we call them.
Some nurse came up with that name.
Better than a wee-wee pad.
Yeah, definitely
better. I call them wee-wee pads.
Right. You see a lot of those being used because it makes a lot of sense. And it makes the cleanup after a scene so much more easy.
I mean, you're still clean under the chuck.
Right.
But there's a certain sense of security.
Right. Remember, too, that in an event or at a fairly large play party, you can have people checking in on all of the equipment and things along those lines. Everybody looks at everything and, you know, people are aware of the fact that this stuff has to go on when multiple people are using the equipment and they are all in the same space. No question about it. I don't think every scene needs aftercare, but I definitely think that some of them need it more than others. Mm. And I'm speaking as a top here as well. Okay. You may feel that you were not, or you didn't do what it was you wanted to do to the best of your abilities. You got tired or something along those lines. And I mean, you can say that to your bottom as well. I don't think that I was really into it as much as I should have been into it. And maybe the next time we do that, I'll try to do this, or you can try to do that, or whatever the case may be. And sometimes, you know, being honest and about how you feel is a good thing for a top as well as for the bottom. It's okay. It doesn't diminish your power or your authority as a top to admit the fact that, you did not give the bottom what you felt the bottom really needed because you just were not up to it. It's okay to say that. It really is. It's okay to do that. And maybe the best place to discuss that kind of thing might be in an aftercare kind of thing, but in a mellow way.
I had an experience. That event that I had gone to alone because my partner was sick. Poor guy had the flu. Oh, God, he was so sick. But we had already bought the tickets and the hotel, and it was expensive. Right. So he was like, go. I can take care of it. Right. You know, I just stay home. So, all right, so I went. And my friend Mike, who I affectionately call Dildo Santa, because he wears a Santa suit and walks around with a dildo strap on. I love him. He's a great guy. So that was how I met him.
Yeah.
He was wearing a strap on and dressed in a Santa suit. That's what I call him, Dildo Santa. So he and I agreed to play. And I was like, okay, that's great. I was so excited. He's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, okay, well, this, I would like to have my nipples pinched and cane my sex.
Okay.
That's what I wanted. Because right. like my hips can't take anything from the back anymore.
Okay.
So I had to switch where my pain locates. So he was like, well, I've never done that before. I was like, oh, okay. Are you still good to do it? Are you still okay to do it? And he's like, oh yeah, it's fine. So he did. And I enjoyed the scene tremendously. And then he had his friend, who was this gorgeous woman, came over. And she was sucking on the other nipple, and he was tisting one nipple, and she was sucking on the other one, and I had my hand in my sex. It was a phenomenal scene. Came down from the scene, some nice aftercare right there, cleaned up, and then he, disappeared. I don't know where he went. He just was just gone.
Right.
I turned around after cleaning, and he just was gone. So I was like, oh, I hope he's, okay.
Right.
So about maybe a couple of hours later, I saw him at another function. And I said, you disappeared so quick. I don't know what, did I do something? Did something happen? He goes, I had a huge top drop.
Uh-huh.
He had never done that before. He'd never done sadism. He'd never done that before. Usually
how interesting.
Usually he does the sex play.
Right.
He doesn't administer pain. And that was the first time he had done that. And it really upset him. And he did not
interesting.
He did not like it. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't. He goes, I didn't know either. He was like, I didn't know either. So tops need care too. And he actually went back to his room, took a shower, regulated himself again. And I was like, okay. I didn't know that he was struggling with doing what I asked him to do.
How interesting.
Which he agreed to do. And I even gave him an out.
Right.
He just wanted to do the sex stuff.
Right.
But for me, I need a little pain in my sex.
Right.
Gets my bing button going. Right. Bing!
Right.
So yes. That's, if I'm going to play with somebody, that's what I need. And he didn't say no. He said yes. He gave, consent. He said yes. But I guess it wasn't what he thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
And it really upset him.
Yeah.
So, and then I felt bad.
Yeah. But no reason really to feel bad because you didn't know what was going on there.
Yeah.
And he did not communicate to me that
he was having trouble doing what he was doing.
Right. So when he was checking in with you, instead of saying, I'm having trouble with this scene, he didn't want to disappoint you and not do what it is you want to do. So instead of checking in with you and saying, can we lower the intensity of this because I'm having trouble with it?
Right.
It's okay for a top to say that.
Yes, but he didn't.
Right. It's okay. I believe
he really wanted to play with me, though.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And so if that was the only thing that I could do to get to the sexual stuff with him, he was willing to, pay that price of admission to play with me.
Right, right, right. So interesting, the dynamics of the scene, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just so incredibly interesting. But, okay, so tops need aftercare too. Wow, that's a very, very interesting concept, and I think everybody needs to remember that, because you can have top drop.
Yeah, especially. So what is top drop?
What is top drop? Top drop is you're no longer doing what you do best and what turns you on the most.
Or feel bad because you did something that you didn't like.
Right, and that is a very unique perspective. I've never heard that before. So that's a very interesting story. Yeah.
So you engage in a play that you thought you would like.
Right. Or you did because the other person wanted it so much, even though it's not your thing. It's really kind of like a turnoff to you, but you did it anyway. Uh-uh. Not good.
Yeah.
Right? Not good. So that's what negotiation is about. There's nothing wrong with being honest with somebody. And you can negotiate aftercare as well. You know, let's make sure after the scene. I think this is a really nice thing to do, by the way.
Yeah. If you have a contract with your, we love our contracts.
Yes, we do.
If you have a contract, you can put aftercare rituals in the contract.
Right.
So that the sub always knows that they're always going to get a drink of water and a piece of candy.
And if we're playing at home,
and a hug.
I will always draw you a hot bath. And put your favorite bath oils in there and lead you to the bath and let you relax with some nice little ambient music
and some candles. And
there you go.
So you can
Can you have a lot of fun. You can do a beautiful scenario. You know,
and that could even almost be part of the scene.
Yes. You know, I really like that.
Again, to discuss the importance of aftercare, playing helps maintain, providing aftercare after playing helps maintain a sense of closeness in the relationship,
yes,
making it easier to emotionally respond to chemical levels changing.
Right.
Which is exactly what I said at the start.
Right.
All of those chemicals, the endorphins and your, all these hormones are peaking and dipping and blood sugars dipping and So you're really, as the top, you're not just providing the physical care for your submissive, your bottom. You're also providing the emotional support. You can't beat the living crap out of somebody and then be like, and have them sobbing, you know, like a cathartic sobbing. And then just be like, all right, I'll see you later.
Right.
And they're a sobbing mess,
Right.
You need to hug them while they sob, or you need to, you know, like a nice rubbing, rub on the back. And
I think there are a lot of people who say they don't need it, but I don't think they've ever had the opportunity to get it the way it is really, it's really so nice. I just feel like even at a big event, just taking the moments afterwards to connect with the person. Now you have a friend also, right?
How about, yes.
Course.
A friend, you know, me and Mike are still friends.
Yeah.
How about, we talked about top drop. How about sub drop? I have experienced sub drop.
Yes.
Where I engaged in a play that I did not like.
Yeah.
It I did too much. Right. It went too far.
Okay.
And then I felt really just sick about it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have the right, it was new. It was new in the scene. I didn't have the right vocabulary.
Right.
I didn't have the right skills to negotiate. Safe word, you know, like I ended up faking an asthma attack.
To
get out of the scene.
I remember that, yeah.
To get out of the scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to disappoint the person that I was playing, the top that I was playing with. I couldn't safe word out and tell them the truth that I wasn't, it just wasn't right. The scene wasn't right. So sub drop can be, oh my God, what did I just let this person do?
Uh-huh.
You know, that was, or he did something that wasn't negotiated.
Right.
He touched your sex, he grabbed your sex.
So it made a situation and it was became negative. It was a negative situation and you started to feel bad about yourself and about the whole scene and maybe about the scene in general.
That person.
Right.
Why did I let that person do that?
Right, right.
Because they really wanted it.
Right.
You know, like Mike really wanted to play with me, so he did something that he wasn't sure he wanted to do.
Right.
And vice versa. I played with someone And I let them do things I later regret.
Right. And that makes for a really bad situation.
Right.
It really does.
So you have top drop.
Yeah.
You have sub drop. There's also con drop.
Oh, con drop. After the aftercare.
Con drop is the worst.
After the aftercare, right?
And then you have what we like to call convention crud.
Yeah.
So you go to one of these events, and it is literally 24/7 kink for like 3, 4, 5 days.
Whatever it is, right.
You know, you are eating irregularly, staying up late, not getting enough sleep, not eating well, you know, just
spending too running, much money.
Running on energy, just running on empty.
Right.
So by Sunday afternoon, you are literally and figuratively and emotionally and psychologically exhausted.
Totally drained.
Just completely drained. And then you go home and bills still need to be paid. Kids need to go to school, you know, PTA meeting and parent-teacher conferences. And you got to go visit your,
dinner.
You know, you're going to have dinner with your parents on Sunday. Life returns.
Right.
You know, and you are just, oh, God, I wish I was back at the convention.
Right.
I wish I was, oh, that was so much fun. And we did that scene and I saw that thing and I look at the paddle that I bought. And you are just like, oh, I am so exhausted. And I wish I was back there. And I wish these people would stop bothering me. Why do you keep calling me mom? You know,
it's the truth. It really is. Con drop is real.
I childproof the house and they still keep getting in.
Yeah.
You know, so, but then the next day you wake up and you got like the sniffles and you got a cold or you got a sore throat. That's because you were just in a place exchanging bodily fluids with all these
and breathing,
people.
Breathing, right.
And
breathing all these people with all these other people were breathing. Yep, that's what happens. Con drop is very, very real. And of course, it's real for the top and the bottom. So what does this mean? This means check in with your people. Check in with your people.
The people who take care of you.
That's right.
Your friends,
that's
your family, right. Your king
that's
family.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you do aftercare for con drop? Lots of resting.
Mm-hmm.
If you are working, you know, you have to go back to work, make the time for some rest.
Yeah.
Do the best you can. Go to work. Come home. Watch TV and get takeout.
Right.
Or frozen dinner or reheat something,
right.
You know, like,
you know what
take
I like to
some
do?
Extra time for yourself.
Absolutely. I like to write. I like to journal afterwards and to remember very specific things that were going on. Stuff that, you know, you would forget the details that made it so incredible or whatever, or so interesting, or who you met, who you ran into again. If you haven't seen them in 10 years, here they are at this event. I like to sit and write about it. And that helps me process the whole event, which I think is really, really valuable. But for an actual problem coming out of the convention or the group dynamic, sometimes you just have to deal with the fact it's like going on vacation and coming back. Yeah, I got to go back to my mundane world. And that's the way it is. But remember, there's always going to be another event or there's going to be another play party.
Oh, absolutely.
That you can go to. And a ritual for yourself, like sitting down and journaling some of the stuff or, you know, remembering the special events. And sometimes at these events, depending upon what they are, for example, like at Test Fest or at Brimstone, we used to do tea parties and we could take photographs because everybody was in vanilla clothing. Well, somewhat vanilla clothing, but they were clothed. And you take wonderful photos. Now you have those photos to
and
remember
the
this wonderful and the memories, which is really wonderful things. I have a scene scrapbook.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are a lot of events where you can take photos. I'm not
usually things like, for example, a big event where you're in an open dungeon. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ancillary events, functions within the big event where it's okay. And I have a wonderful scrapbook. Halloween parties, tea parties, private scenes at the con and stuff like that. And I have great, great memories. So that's what I like to do to avoid the con drop. Okay, get all my scrapbooking stuff together and to remember these things. I've been in scenes where I stop myself and I think, I am going to remember this moment and its intensity forever. Okay, but when I get back and I don't write that down, I'm not going to remember the details. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. But if you write it down, you can relive it. And then sometimes you can even write some great porn developed by those scenes and by what went on.
Back in the day, before they had the Yap app,
yeah,
they would have printed programs.
Oh, that's right.
And I saved, you know, all my programs.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're all
right.
You know, I saved.
And when we're real old and we can't even walk down the stairs, we can look at our scrapbook and remember all the crazy shit we used to do.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So in closing, we want to stress how important aftercare is for the top, for the submissive, for the bottom sleep, the other side of that, you know, the top, the bottom side of the coin.
And it's a really nice thing to do for people. I mean, you've just shared intimacy.
Ask for what you need. Even if you're a top.
Right.
Ask for what you need.
Right. Make it part of your negotiation.
Yeah.
And it really helps you enjoy the memory and take back some good memories with you of the scene, even if the scene did not go so fabulous as you wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Okay, with a little bit of aftercare, with two of you just saying, oh, it was fine, we just met each other, we've only been dating for a month, whatever the case may be, well, it will get, you know, different as time goes on, but it was great anyway on this level and that level. Yeah, a little care, aftercare. Very important.
So if you have any questions or comments, please email us at tkw@2kinkywomen.com. That's tkw@2kinkywomen.com. That's the numeric 2. Sign up for the email newsletter and get your free downloadable beginner's guide to kink. We'd never, ever, ever sell your email information. It's kept very private.
Absolutely.
Very private. And you can also find us at our homepage at 2kinkywomenpodcast.com. Read the diary and download your free infographic, which is available every month. We want to provide education. We want to have all these resources. There's going to be some big changes coming soon.
Yes, yes.
Big changes that we're working on for the
and
pod.
Some changes, yes.
So
a lot of changes, small changes, big changes.
I would suggest you listen to all those back episodes and get all of those infographics now before they get shuffled into the vault.
That's right.
That's coming up. We're going to be doing breaking into YouTube, lots of things. Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing a Patreon for our Patreon mm-hmm. subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
You get extra content. You get access to us, the two kinky women.
And I know
lots
that our listeners are just so interested in what we look like and how we interact, and video is in our future.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. We're gonna enter the 21st century. So we wanted to just let you know that we are two kinky women, and we want you to be kinky too.
Oh yes, we do, in a very safe, sane, and consensual manner.
Yes.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.